Let us pray together. God of truth, on Sinai you gave your commandments, and they shaped your people. Speak to us now, and order our lives according to your delight. Amen. And in silence. Today's reading from the Old Testament is taken from Isaiah, chapter 56, verses 1 through 8. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right. For soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. Happy is the mortal who does this, the one who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, and not profaning it, and refrains from doing any evil. Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And do not let the eunuch say, I am just a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me, and hold fast my covenant. I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. The word of life.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Luke's gospel in the 14th chapter. Jesus was at a dinner, and one of the guests said, "Blessed be anyone who eats bread in the realm of God." And Jesus said, "Someone gave a dinner once, a great dinner, and invited many. And when it was all prepared and ready, the host sent a servant out to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for it is ready.' But all those people who had been invited, all of them, made excuses. One of them said, 'Well, I just bought some land and I need to go see it, so please accept my regrets.' And another said, 'I just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I need to go try them out, so accept my regrets, please.' Another one said, 'I just got married, I can't come.' When the servant came back and reported this to the host became angry and said, 'Go out into the streets and the lanes and bring back, invite the poor and the crippled, and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'That's already been done, and there's still more room.' And the host said, 'Then go out into the roads and the lanes and compel everybody to come in so that my house will be filled. Because I tell you, none of the people that I invited will taste my feast.'" This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's this great program that the Massachusetts Council of Churches is doing called Extending the Table. They're having this big conference next week, and I was hoping we could host the conference here, and we can't, but we can at least have them, and we're going to have them in our worship. So there will be about 100 of them, and they will be mostly homeless and guys in a pre-release center from the prison and undocumented aliens. And they're going to be here. We like to use that word, aliens. They're just immigrants. But they're going to be here. Not all of them speak English. Most of them are black and Hispanic, and they come from pretty rough neighborhoods and lives, but they're okay. And they're probably going to sing some of their songs, and they're going to speak and pretty much take over. How does that feel? Is there something in that that feels like you feel something? Well, actually, that's not going to happen. I made that up. But I said that because I want you to get in touch with that feeling, whether it's anticipation or fear, and there might be a little of that. It would be a big change, wouldn't it? Because look around. We are a bunch of white, homeowning, middle class, American Protestants. We're straight. We don't have a lot of mental illness. We don't have a lot of homelessness. Having those people here would be a big change, wouldn't it? Having a bunch of blue-collar people would be a change, wouldn't it? If you look around, what you notice is who's missing. It's easy for us to miss how uncomfortable and maybe even downright offensive Jesus' story would have been to his hearers. To imagine somebody inviting to a fancy dinner just random people off the street, including the poor, who we've made a very distinct effort not to invite because this is a fancy dinner, and the lame and the crippled and the blind in a society when we know that that is a sign of God's judgment. They're bad people. Can you imagine if our church actually looked like what's on the cover of the bulletin? You notice those guys sitting there? They're kind of scary. I mean, let's face it. They're probably gangsters. They're mostly black. They look like they listen to a different music than the kind that Ken plays. We have no idea. Not just the people who aren't here, but the people who are carefully, systematically excluded from our world. We have no idea. We are so surrounded and protected by an invisible but incredibly powerful, vast and deep infrastructure of power and privilege and exclusion. We don't even have to notice that. So we get sick and we worry about the bills, but we don't worry about selling the house because we have insurance. There's a lot of people who don't. They don't go to the doctor. They just die because they can't sell a house. They don't have one. And they can't pay $40,000 for treatment. So they just get sick. There are people who worry about getting shot by the police because they're black. And it happens a lot. Recently, Michael Brown was in the news and everybody went, ooh, wow, that's weird. That is not weird. We don't know how often that happens because nobody cares enough to count. But some researchers say probably something like 400 times a year. That's more than once a day. There is a young, unarmed black man who is shot by the police because he looks suspicious, which means black. We don't have to worry about that. We fuss and whine about affirmative action. You know, why should those black kids get college scholarships just because they're black? I wonder how many millions of Americans could afford to go to college because their parents could afford to mortgage the house that their dad got on the GI Bill, which was affirmative action. The GI Bill was millions of dollars of loans for housing that were given to white people. and it's written in. You can read right where it says. Now, the people who made the loans and the people who received the loans and the people who didn't receive the loans, they didn't know that. But the guys who wrote the legislation, they knew that. We don't always intend to exclude people. Sometimes it's just by accident. How many decades did it take churches to figure out that if you have communion up here, nobody in a wheelchair will ever come? We didn't mean to exclude them. We just didn't think of it because we weren't in wheelchairs. And now all of a sudden, we build ramps. Imagine how many people in this world do not have a GI Bill or insurance or a ramp. We all experience it, even though we don't know it. I experience it. I experience the flip side of it. I am straight. I'm male. I'm well-educated. I'm articulate. All of my body parts work the way we like to have them work. People don't look at me funny. If I walked in like this, you would look at me funny. I guarantee it. I watch people look at people whose bodies don't work the way ours work. I don't have to deal with that. When Beth and I are introduced, both of us as pastors, people will ask me to say the prayer. Every time. Not just once in a while. It's been going on for 34 years. I was at a church, Beth and I were at a church once, in which we were both of us halftime apiece. They would all talk to me and ignore her. I got in the habit of standing behind her. And they would look around her. Because she's a woman. So she's not as real as a pastor as I am. We live in a world that is full of this work of keeping ourselves protected by power and privilege and exclusion. And Jesus spent his life breaking that down. When he fed the 5,000, the miracle wasn't that he created a whole lot of bread out of not very much bread. The miracle is that he got 5,000 people to eat together. And it's not just that they didn't get along. There were religious rules that said, you can't eat with somebody who is unclean. You can't do that. And Jesus said, I just made you do it. Do you want the bread or don't you? He forced them into a different kind of community in which there was no power or privilege or exclusion. And how did they like that? What did they say at his trial? The one charge that was specific that they could level against him, besides he said, I'm going to tear down this temple, was he eats with sinners. He has no respect for our boundaries of privilege and power and exclusion. And he died for that. He gave his life, crucified in between a couple of scoundrels, as if to say, this is where we're at. I am in the circle of scoundrels. And our job as Christians is to notice that and to do something about it. Because we have the power. Right? The immigrants are not going to change our immigration laws because they don't have any representatives. We do. And we know their phone number. And we can call them up and they will say, oh yes, talk to me. We have the power. And Jesus says we also have the responsibility. It's not easy because we can't see those boundaries. We can't notice the rules all the time. I'm blindsided by it all the time. And then I realized, oh, I'm operating out of an incredible position of privilege, and I didn't even see that. So I need people to keep showing me, keep reminding me. I need to keep coming up against that. And when I come up against it, I have to repent, and I also have to think seriously about, what am I going to do about that? How will I step across those boundaries? What will I do about that sinful way that we have split up the children of God between the acceptable and the unacceptable, the insiders and the outsiders? That rests on us. not because we're politically correct. It matters not because it's somebody's political agenda. It matters because each one of us really wants, most of all, deep down, if we could throw away everything in the world and have only one thing left, it would be that God loves me. That's all I really want. And I know perfectly well that I really don't deserve that. I am not one of those people that ought to be in God's inner circle. There's nothing that's going to get me into that circle. What I really want is a God who will step out of the circle and come and invite outsiders like me in. It's not just that I think it's a good idea that we should build ramps so that the wheelchairs can get in the building. It's that I can't be saved without a God who does that. Without a God who says, this is not about how good you are. This is about how good I am. And I want you in my inner circle. That's why we do that. Because we want there to be that circle in which we all belong. Because if all of us don't, nobody does. And Jesus opens that up to us. On World Communion Sunday, we're reminded again that we really want that kind of world. Because we want that kind of relationship with God and with one another. And the good news is that that's exactly what God gives us. The rest of it is all in our heads. Can you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for your grace and for your call to follow Jesus, to confront evil, injustice, and oppression, racism and sexism, and divisions of class and sex and culture and taste and a thousand other things. Give us the faith to see you reach across those imaginary boundaries so that we too will reach out to one another with your love. God of grace, we thank you. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to do justice, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.